Okay, in Matthew chapter 19, we began this text last week. We'll read it, the whole text, beginning in verse 16. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. The man said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, give to the Lord, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now, I will remind you of something that we made note of last week, and it is the fact that in the past, in the previous chapters of the Gospel of Matthew and really any of the Gospels, we see that when the Lord deals with somebody that has come to him to receive him, he simply calls upon them and says, "Follow me." And the salvation of Peter, Andrew, James, and John were all along those lines. It was just their examples of it was pretty simple. They were their heart was ready, and he says, "Follow me." And they fell in behind him, sold out, left their nets and their boats and everything, and began to follow him, okay? But with this young man, it's different. It's not that simple. He as sincere as he may seem, Jesus knows what's in his heart. Jesus knows the things that are there that might be. What Jesus knows, his heart is not really ready for salvation, to put it bluntly, okay? And for this young fella, I can't read and say exactly what Jesus saw, but we know he's all-knowing. He could pick up on the hindrance that was in this guy's heart that would keep him from surrendering to the Lord. He could see that there was an obstacle, if you will, from having genuine born-again salvation, okay? And of course, we know after the fact, because we've read the text, that obstacle was his attachment to his worldly possessions. Jesus knew it then, though, and we just get to pick up on the tail end of it after the fact. Nothing is hidden from his eyes for any of us. Nothing is past his finding out. He knows what's going on in the heart. So let me just make it really clear again, as I did last week, that this text is in no way teaching. Jesus is not telling us that the way to salvation is to sell our possessions and give to the poor. That's not what's being said here. A vow of poverty will never merit salvation, okay? Now, I don't care who you are, okay? But we do have to be willing when we come to Jesus for salvation. We have to come with a heart that's prepared to surrender to him. Okay, not perfectly. None of us are ever perfectly surrendered, but a willingness to do what's asked of us. He's not saying he doesn't require us to do all of these things in order to be saved, but he wants, when we come to him to be saved, for us to be willing to do what he asks of us. He wants a heart of surrender. He wants us to be yielded to him in heart, okay? And the individual things that he wants to extract from our life, then he will show us along the way. It's just that willingness to do it when he shows us, okay? I want you to look back a couple of pages to chapter 16, and I want to look at this verse again. We saw it last week, verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There again, Jesus is simply declaring in that verse that he's looking for a person's surrender, the willingness to follow him and do whatever is asked of them. Clearly, in the case of this young man here, this guy is sincere when he asked Jesus, what must I do for eternal life? But Jesus picks up on the shallowness of his approach. And so Jesus is dealing with him in these verses, verse 17, verse 18, verse 19, that he's dealing with him in such a way to reveal to him his heart condition, to reveal to him, in a sense, Jesus is testing him by these things that he's, by making these probing statements to him, okay? And by the time we get to verse 22, Jesus has been pretty successful in bringing to light what this guy's heart condition was, what his problem was, what truly was the ruler of his heart. And we know, again, it was his unwillingness to turn loose of his possessions. Again, it's not that Jesus requires of us to turn loose of our possessions. He's looking for a willing heart, if he were to tell us to, okay? That's what the hindrance to this guy's salvation. Verse 17 again, and so he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay, the commandments that he speaks of here, this young man would have been very, very familiar with, because I'll remind you of what we learned last week. This was a really religious man. The parallel passage to this text over where was it? I thought I made those notes here. There, yeah, I didn't. Okay. Well, there's a parallel text. I gave it to you last week, where it says that this young man is not just a rich young man, but it says he is also a ruler. It refers to him as a ruler. And so we know that if he is, that's in Mark chapter 10. Now I found it. But if he is a ruler of the synagogue, that's what the reference is, he knows the scripture. Okay. This is religious young man. And so these commandments that Jesus speaks about in verse 17 and then on in verse 18 and 19 would have been something that this guy knew. It was as dear to his heart, and he had them all memorized, okay? It was familiar to him as the Pledge of Allegiance is to you and I. It was a big part of his life. He knew his Old Testament Bible. So notice what he says in response to Jesus' words. He says unto him, which? Now, by asking the question which, it's almost as if this guy's saying, hey, I know them all. I have them memorized. Let's talk specifics here. Which ones? I know them. Tell me which ones. Now, I don't necessarily think that the young man was trying to be arrogant, but it does seem that he's making the point that he's very knowledgeable. I know the scriptures. And so just give me some more detail, as it seems that he's asking there, in order to zero in a little bit, okay? And so Jesus, in order to continue to peel off the layers, if you will, speaks more specific about those commandments. In verse 18, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so he gives him 5 of the 10 commandments. And then he also adds right there at the very end, where it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what's referred to in the scripture as the second greatest commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'll tell you where I'm getting that from. Let's move across the page to the right, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22. And we'll look at that text. Down in verse 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first great commandment, okay? He said, there's number one. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so Jesus speaks of number one commandment, number two commandment. Those two commandments do not necessarily supersede the Ten Commandments. Those two commandments are not really, what am I trying to say? they don't negate the Ten Commandments in any way, but really they rank so high in importance because those two commandments zero in on the heart, the condition of the heart. That's the why they're so important. Either the heart has the love, it's either there or it's absent of the love. The Ten Commandments, very important, okay, but they're more legalistic in the sense that a person can keep them if he or she has enough determination. Well, I'll make sure I don't steal, make sure I don't murder, I'll make sure I don't covet. These things, you could knuckle down with determination and do a pretty good job of keeping the Ten Commandments. But a love for God with all your heart and all your soul is either there or it's not. And a love for your neighbor as thyself is either there or it's not. That is a product, if you will, of a changed heart. That's a product of redemption. If it's not there, then you can't fulfill that first and second great commandment, okay? And so in our text, Jesus lists five of the Ten Commandments, and then the second greatest commandment, and then notice the man's response in verse 20. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, I want you to again remember that this guy was a ruler of the synagogue, which simply meant he was some sort of a leader, maybe a teacher, maybe I don't know what positions they might have had, but he was a higher up in the synagogue, and so that really would have put him on the same level to a great degree, religiously on the same level as like the Pharisees and the scribes and those guys. And so this young man, it seems, as sincere as he seems, his desire to have Jesus tell him about eternal life and what's required has not in any way changed his own self-righteousness. In other words, what I'm saying is he's proved by this answer he gave in verse 20 is he's got the same problem as the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, he's not as arrogant as them, and he's not as condescending as them, but he does have that same sense of self-righteousness. I've kept all these commandments all my life. I'm already doing that, is what he's saying. And we know that nobody can do that perfectly. And it would be different if he says, I've always valued those commandments, and I've made an effort to do to serve you as well as I can with those commandments. That'd be a little different deal. But he says, "Oh, I've kept them all since my youth." So he's displaying that self-righteousness that the Pharisees have, and which was a problem in the whole Jewish religious world during that time in that age. Okay, so that's a big problem, and he just simply did not realize that he fell short. And without the realization that we fall short, guys, then there's not a realization we need a Savior. You got to get a person lost before you can get them saved. If a person doesn't see their sin, doesn't see their falling short, doesn't see the fact that they can't keep all those commandments, then they're never going to come to the place where they see their need for a Savior. They see a need for forgiveness. And so this guy kind of falls into that category. So Jesus carries his test of the heart just a little bit further. In verse 21, rather. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Okay? So now, again, Jesus is not laying down for you and I the way to salvation, but the response to what Jesus sets before him, whatever response he's going to give is going to reveal what his true condition of the heart is. It's going to reveal whether he truly desires salvation or not. If he desires it enough so that he's willing to surrender whatever is asked of him by God, okay? And again, Jesus already knows his heart. Jesus already knows the answer, okay? But he's trying to bring this to the surface for this guy to see himself. Jesus already gets it. He wants this guy to get it, to get to the real problem and get it out in the open. And so after having uncovered the guy's self-righteousness, now he's targeting the second big problem he has, and that's just his unwillingness, this young man's unwillingness to sell out and follow the Lord, okay? I think about this, and I'll wind this up, but it's really not uncommon for you and I to be put to a similar test in our Christian lives, okay? And think about that. I don't think the Lord, well, I know he doesn't, test us in the way of our salvation, okay? Obviously, once it's there, it's there. But as a matter of checking us and our priorities, has God ever laid something on your heart big, and you knew, whether it be through the preaching or the reading of your word, or the word, or through a person or through a ministry that was brought to you or something, that God laid on your heart and he wants you to do this? He's impressed upon you, wants you to do that. And it's big. I've had that experience where God has laid on my heart something major. And if I do it, it's going to cost me a lot. Not necessarily monetarily, but that sometimes is it too, okay? It's going to cost me a lot. And obviously, like every human, you do and I do, we wrestle with that. But we also, as children of God, have to come to the realization that if we will surrender whatever that is, that's where our peace is going to be found, and that's where we're going to experience complete fulfillment in the Lord, okay? So the times that God has laid those things upon my heart and I have followed through with obedience, and I was never disappointed, not one time. And there have been times that I thought, oh, Lord, this is huge. But I said, nevertheless, that thy will. Now, again, I haven't done this to the extent that I need to. I mean, I've not been as obedient as I could have been at times. But I'll give you one quick case in point. And I've told this before many years ago, but the only time I ever looked at leaving Slayton, Texas to go pastor somewhere else is a time that I was approached with a church that had shut its doors down in the Houston area, and they were looking for somebody to go in there and take it over and start, really restart a church. And with all my heart, I have no idea, but I just knew God was telling me to do that. Shared it with Tricia. We both felt the same burden. We just, and you know what it amounted to? That's a big step. For one thing, I never wanted to leave here. Number two, financially, when you go to zero, a certain number of income to zero, that represents a crash, okay? When you go to zero that quick, that's a crash. And so that's scary. But I said to myself, okay, I'll do it. To the point, now we didn't discuss this with y'all. Y'all probably would have helped us move, but we didn't discuss it with you. But we were committed. This is what we're going to do. This is what God's laid on our heart. Went down there. Checked out the property, tried to find housing, all of this. Came back, okay, start putting things up for sale. And we did. We couldn't sell anything. We couldn't get anything to sell. And then all of a sudden, God laid upon our heart. It's off the table. Now, I can't explain to you the ins and outs, and I don't want to complicate your life by don't try to analyze my situation. But I knew, I even talked to some pastors that I really respect, and I said, what's going on here? And they said, God just gave you a test to say, hey, are you willing? Are you willing to start all over? Are you willing to say goodbye to your situation here and start new and afresh out of obedience? And we don't always, but at that particular time, we were obedient. And we said yes, and then God said, you're off the hook. Sometimes it works that way. So the other side of that is there's many times God lays upon our hearts to do something big, and he wants us to we act in obedience, and he allows us to follow through. He doesn't shut the door like he did on us. And even then, there will always be peace and fulfillment with that, that is far above what he's asking of us. Let me just leave you with this. Verse 22, this guy had a problem. He says, but the young man heard the saying, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And so what happened here is the great possessions that he owned, that he thought he owned, really owned him. And so he actually, rather than becoming a servant of Jesus, which would have been eternal, he chose to remain a servant to his wealth. And he says he walked away sorrowful. That word sorrowful means grieved. And folks, whatever we put before Jesus, whatever it is, will always prove to be the cause of our grief. Every time, okay? Always be willing to say yes, whatever God tells you. He'll never let you down. You'll find more fulfillment in obeying a big requirement of you than you will hanging on to whatever it is you're trying to keep. Okay? Let's stand and be dismissed. Appreciate you guys very much. And Chad, will you lead us in prayer, please?